If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
Is it Herb?
Everybody get up.
Herb buddy.
Everybody get up.
No, Herb. Everybody.
Get your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care.
It's Air Buddy.
It's season 6.
Bitches.
Wow, of the Tag Cast. And here we are. We're bringing you popular music.
Yep, we've changed our format.
Yep.
Every week, we're going to bring you the top 40.
Yep. And we're going to follow it up with some Bob and Tom.
Oh, this song is so funny.
9:05 in the morning here. We're going to have our Fog Hat Flapjack freestyle contest coming up. Whoever eats the most flapjacks gets a Fog Hat poster. Welcome to AM Radio.
AM Radio. It is Top 40. And we're both Casey Kasem.
And we're both fucking with y'all. The Terry and Catch comedy show. We're rebooting, reformatting, and reissuing.
Does this song have the feel of that Marvin Gaye song, Got to Give It Up? Is that what you're feeling when you hear this song?
I don't know if I feel that song, but I feel like I do gotta give it up. Like, if someone was asking me to give it up and the song was playing, I would have to.
Yeah. Have you seen the video for this?
No.
It's topless women.
Are they blurred, though? Is that why it's called Blurred Lines?
Maybe.
Do they show boobies?
I watched the uncensored video. Why even bother with the other one? I watched it with the sound off.
There's an uncensored version with boobs?
Mm-hmm.
And
like
before
the whole song.
Does
like
he wear that referee
full
suit?
Full frontal booby nudity.
Does he wear that striped suit?
Okay. Yeah, but he's not in all the shots. There's, I don't know. It's you know, if you want to check out some boobies.
I like boobies.
That's what it is. It's just a bunch of women.
I wonder what his wife
a few
thinks.
Women dancing and
so
showing off their boobies.
His wife wasn't probably too upset when Miley Cyrus was twerking all over his junk.
It's just all about the performance, right?
I guess.
I heard twerking's crossing over to metal.
Metal twerk?
Yep, merkin'.
Metal working.
Dude, imagine twerking with a merkin'.
Imagine twerking for a living.
Dude, that would sell. That would sell on YouTube.
It would. There's been some twerk fails lately, and one I think that went viral. Did you hear about that one? Was created by Jimmy Kimmel.
And his, yeah.
She caught on fire. She was twerking upside down.
Right?
Yeah, she stood on her hands, leaned up against the door, and started twerking upside down, if that's possible. And then her friend apparently opened the door, knocked her into the table, out of the frame of the camera. Then when she came back on, she was on fire, but it was a stunt woman, I guess. But.
Yeah, and then there was a video of Jimmy Kimmel putting her out with a fire extinguisher or something.
Yeah, I didn't see that part, but my wife had told me about it.
Good job for his team to be able to create a viral video just of having the access to the network, right?
I guess.
Of the social networks.
I wonder if it was posted by Jimmy Kimmel Live.
I don't know. They probably just leaked it. Maybe it was probably on Guillermo's account.
Guillermo. Oh, no. Who's he?
What? You don't watch Jimmy Kimmel show at all, do you?
I don't. No.
All right.
I don't watch Kimmel or... I don't... Not a late night
Guillermo's basically the Ed McMahon, I think, except for he doesn't do the announcing, but he kind of stands off to the side and he at least plays that he doesn't speak very good English, but he's the one Kimmel's always talking to. Like, he's the gay robot.
Oh, okay. He's the gay robot of Chris Ferguson. Craig Ferguson.
Yeah.
Craig Ferguson. I did watch a little bit of him kind of by accident the other night, but that was cool. He is pretty funny. He's goofy.
He's off the cuff.
He had Shirley Jones on the show.
Ah,
I'm
not.
He just came out with a tell-all book.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, you know, you are a bit more promiscuous than anyone might have thought over the years, and now you're kind of telling everybody. She's like, well, I'm 82 years old. I figure people should probably get to know the real Shirley Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, she before always played
before there isn't a Shirley Jones to tell.
Yeah, exactly. No Shirley Jones to tell. So, yeah, we blurred some lines just now. Welcome to Monday. We're just kidding.
We
we're
did
not gonna,
blurred some lines.
We're not going to do that anymore. Pop music, that hurt my ear holes. And unfortunately, the reason I have that song in my library is because I'm doing a wedding this weekend. And the bride usually, as always, chooses the after-party music, 90% of it. What a crap.
All right, so I'm going to ask you right now, pre-wedding, for you, do you think... Is someone going to twerk at this wedding when you're working it?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. It's an outdoor affair.
I'm going to say yes.
Well, all right. Take that and under consideration, all you listeners, and we'll report next Monday after the big shindig to whether some twerking went down at an outdoor establishment, North Albany Park.
Mm-hmm.
So that might cause
be interesting,
someone to not
because if you're
going to
play the song... You know, somebody might just like it go crazy.
Is that the song they played or was it her song? I think it was her song.
I think just recent pop songs will bust out twerking.
Dude.
Tweaking.
Speaking
is
of.
Is that what it is? It's like jerking like a tweaker. Is that where the word came from?
I am not. You're working it and you're twirling and you're. You're gyrating and
you're just shoving your ass and shaking it in somebody's crotch.
Have you seen the ass clapping? So now my wife showed me these.
Know.
It's just twerkers. Just
yeah, but they
city
can,
twerkers
they can clap their asses.
Yeah, so while they're twerking, their ass cheeks clap together. So they're twerking and they're some of the real professional city twerkers.
Mm-hmm.
They can like do like the back and forth, up and down, one side like symmetrical.
Can they work their muscles like the pecs?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay. Like they bounce them up and down somehow like that. But yeah, they'll get to bouncing and they're twerking it, and then all of a sudden, like literally that loud, like
wow. Hmm.
And then so a skinny, fairly skinny girl do it because most of them, I don't know if they're trying to be stereotypical, were big black booties.
Yeah,
the triple B.
Well, you got to have some air between there.
Yeah,
to
they
be
were
able
showing
to...
some little ones, and they just had like a weird, like a slappy more.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
So like, now you're gonna have like a,
you could have an ass slapping band.
Yeah, that would be
like
weird.
Slap, 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 slap.
Have you seen that guy that does the faucet? Drums.
The ass slapping band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, the faucet drums?
Yeah, it's like a faucet commercial, but it's spraying water. There are faucets that you touch and they turn off and on, and the water's hitting like pans and like glasses. He's a
I've
composer.
Seen some weird shit like that, but I haven't seen that one. I saw a guy when I was a kid on the Gong Show that had like bottles at different amounts, and he did a song by Hoot. Hoot, 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 blowing on blowing on different bottles. And somewhere else I saw one where they had all these crystal glasses, the ones where if you rub your finger in a circle around the rim, they make a noise. And he was like, because they kind of fade in and they're kind of eerie sounding.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing this weird song and like, that was one of the most coolest things I've seen.
Yeah.
For a dude to actually be able to measure all these cups out and have to where none of the notes
were
like...
that would take a long time too, right?
None of the notes were a little sharp or flat. You can't wait too long because water evaporates, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Or would it evaporate evenly in all cups?
Science maybe, question. But then it would be like you're, you know, all if you tuned your strings, if you tuned your E down to a D, right? And then you measured that in string length, and then you detuned every string to the same thing. That would be like expecting it to be in D.
Yeah, that's
I don't
true.
Think it would be.
Yeah, you'd probably have to do that all by ear. You couldn't do it by calculation, would you think?
Maybe you might be able to if you did one. If you did one and then or two, and then you could probably do like...
Gauge it.
It's some formula of that somebody's figured out in the past.
And if you're a little bit sharp, you just like take a straw and put your finger over it and take a little bit of water.
Just drink it. And then if it's too much.
You spit it back out.
Yep.
You just pee in there a little
maybe
bit.
Yeah, you're just like. dribble it in there.
That little horn honk out there reminded me of something I forgot to tell you.
Aruga!
Even
is
while,
that what it sounded like?
No, it was this little beep, like someone touched the key fob.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to mention this to you even before we started recording here today. I told you this months ago. I think the initial contact was over a year ago.
The chances are I've forgotten.
Greg from Strange Dichotomy has mm-hmm. some friends who are making a documentary about the Northwest music scene.
Oh, nice.
And they had contacted me the last time over mm-hmm. 6 months ago. It was raining at the time, I remember, and they were leery of bringing their professional filmmaking equipment into the drippy, wet car wash. Can't blame them. But now that it's dry, this week he contacted me, and they actually came out today.
Oh, nice.
And did like about a 20-minute interview with me. They had like the two light bar stands and everything, and mm-hmm. like a couple cameras, and like a couple of these things, and no boom mic, but it was pretty cool. And so like we're about halfway through this 25-minute interview, and we've got the door open basically for light, and I go, well, there's going to be cars and trucks, and he's like, that's actually pretty good to be like ambiance, you know, because we're at this mm-hmm. car wash where this guy practices and these bands have played, and my sister pulls up, and she lives out of town, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got my ex-stepson that I told everybody got in a car wreck not too long ago. Remember I told you?
Mm-hmm.
His mom went to Montana and got him because he's broken up with his girlfriend, and he's got a broken neck and a broken back, and he's in a body brace, not a cast, but a brace. So he needs someone to take care of him. Anyway, long story, a little longer there. Mm-hmm. They pull up, and she's like, hey, bro. And like I'm like in the middle of a sentence, and they're filming it. You know, and I was like, and I kind of went like this, gave her the one. A minute
mm-hmm.
and she's like, hey, I got Noah. And I was like, sorry guys, I was like, we're filming right now. And she could see the big lights, but I don't pay attention. I've never seen anything like that. And she's like, oh shit, I'm sorry. And then they like sat there and watched me for a while, but they left the truck running. I'm kind of like going, finally they pulled off, and he's like, yeah, I turned the camera off. Because they were going to do a longer thing, I guess, and do a look at the car wash and talk about the bands who'd played there. But they said they contacted me this morning and said they were having a problem with the camera and they only had 25 minutes worth of space. So they just did an interview. But I asked them what they were going to do with it, if they were just planning on releasing it on YouTube or if they were going to go to a film festival or whatever. And they said their initial plans are to have a screening at the Bijou Theater.
Huh.
Which is kind of cool, which is a theater down in Eugene, Oregon. And he said so far he's talked to the guy from Floater, the guy, Toby, getting ready to talk to Carl, a couple guys from a band called Henry's Child from back in the day, a couple other people I didn't recognize, and he's got some other interviews set up with some other people. And it was kind of flattering, kind of nice. I've known Greg for a few years now. He said, the reason that I've included you in this, he goes, because every person that I talked to mentioned your name in some way or another. And so I figured you should be involved. And I was like, oh, who did you talk? And so, like, and some of these people, I don't know these people, but that's awesome. I was like, he said, why do you think that is? And I go, because I'm fucking old and I've been doing it since like 1990, so I've met a couple people around the way, mm-hmm. you know. And so I'm excited. I don't know if you can't get your hopes up too much with independent filmmakers who are relying on a budget that they don't probably really have. But it'd be cool to see it come together. I think they're about halfway done with filming, and then comes the editing process. And with a documentary, most documentaries I've seen, they split up. They have clips about certain, like maybe mm-hmm. he asked each person basically kind of the same questions. And in the documentary, I would think you're talking about this, and they have a clip from me and then Toby and then Carl, each person talking about that thing. Here's the guy mm-hmm. from We Have Guns or whatever. But it was fun. It was kind of cool to sit there, and they filmed the rule, got some setup shots or whatever you call it of the car wash from the outside. And I noticed when me and Greg were talking afterwards, he was kind of walking around with the camera and filming us from over by the vacuum cleaner.
Getting some stock roll.
Yeah, exactly. Like for a setup shot or something like that. But, and Greg said they played at the, Dixie and saw a bunch of posts on Facebook that service at the Dixie is terrible now. Some people saying they're not going to go there anymore. Just go there one more time. I got a show there coming up. Don't boycott it. You can boycott it. Just come out and then boycott your boycott for one night. But that's selfish, I know. No, but I heard like 9.50 tacos or chef
expensive
salad.
Food.
Chef salad, 9.50.
Wow. That's
and,
high.
One drink ticket per band member now. And I don't know.
Hmm.
The walls are all gray and drab like a prison.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't think it'll last long under that ownership then. There won't be much money being made.
Not as long as it did with Jake, I don't think. But that's I guess, to be seen. We'll see. She might have a game plan, and maybe she's getting a lot of, a little bit everyday business. Which sometimes that can sustain a business in a small town if you get a very continuous, a little bit every day.
You got to be willing to withstand the customer change base because it's obviously what she's looking for. Because
a lot of businesses, and I know I would probably do the same thing, rely on the big night weekends. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can get a daily income of what your overhead is, and then you have a big weekend, it's like a bonus.
Yeah.
You can use that towards your business or give yourself a bonus or... I don't know. It's so easy to talk about it when you're not involved. Things are so tight. That's a lot of thing that documentary is focusing on is how people don't come out to shows like they used to.
Yeah.
And Craig had a good point. He goes, I get a lot of people that see me and they're my friends or acquaintances. And I say, hey, check out, or they'll come to him and say, hey, I saw your band's video on YouTube, man. You guys are awesome. And he said, hey, cool, we're playing Friday. Come down to the show. He's like, oh, I saw you guys on YouTube. Don't need to come down. Mm. And I don't know if they said, I don't need to come down, but, oh, no, I already saw you guys.
Well, is that people that have never really experienced, like, going out to a show?
I guess. He goes, there's no exchange of energy. There's no, here's what I got. What does it make you feel like? And bring it back to me and go out. But I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it focuses on kind of I don't know if he was calling it that. I said it's like a musical recession because when you have a recession, like a monetary or economy recession, you got to think about it. No one has money to spend on stuff because everything's so tight, but all the money that everybody had is still all out there.
Yeah.
You're just not seeing it in big amounts in certain places.
Well, you gave it all to the bread company.
Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah. And so, like, all those bands are still out there. A few of them have broken up.
Yeah.
Most bands that break up either reform or a couple members start over. Or, like, he was talking about when he first moved up here, it was the big bands that were getting started and getting some attention were like Northwest Royale and Grinch and Floater and, those were some of the bigger names as far as, getting big draws at the WoW Hall and snagging decent opening bands, but I don't know.
Probably put 30-pound test in there now.
He should. He didn't say anything about, you'd think with Jason being in his band, he would do an interview with Jason who's been in,
it's weird.
I totally
Greg and I minced words once.
Yeah?
Recently, yeah. That was the last time we minced words.
Yeah. He's always talked about trying to do comedy, and I always ever talk to him. I try to get him to come to an open mic, try it out. Because I go, you're obviously been on the mic several times. You talk to crowds. You're the front man for your band. You talk between the songs. You know how to talk, and I've heard you crack jokes. He's like, I know. I'm just afraid my friends would come. I was like, you don't want your friends to come? And he's like, not the first few times. He goes, I'll refuse to do it. He goes, if my friends are there, I won't go up. And I was like, well, that's something that you're going to have to... You want your
part of the things,
right? Want your friends to come because then they're going to tell your friends that aren't really your friends. And I think I made some new fans. I passed out some cards by their request of the podcast this weekend. It was awesome. I hadn't been to that tiny tavern since 19 Limbs played there like over 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was fun.
Almost fell in the chimney in the fireplace there, which is still there. So I got to tell that story. But there was two tables of young, actually pretty ladies there, and they were cracking up the whole time. Well, I kind of had a little bit of a heckler.
Oh, was it tiny?
She was tiny-minded. She was she was easy prey. She made me look like I knew what I was doing, and people were all giving me kudos in the parking lot afterward. Way to handle that chick. So she was like, I don't know if she was a hippie. She was a mix between a hippie and a hipster, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's no stage. You know how it is.
A hippie-ster?
And so I'm just, hippie-ster. So I'm just standing in front of the fireplace there, and the door to the women's bathroom is just right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she walked out, she was probably less than 10 feet away from me, and I'm in the middle of doing my word to your mother joke, but I'm like, it's not funny yet. I'm doing the setup. And she comes out and she goes, that's so funny.
She just wanted some attention on
like,
her.
Yeah, like, so I'm talking and no one's laughing because I'm setting up. Mm-hmm. And I go, you don't think I'm funny? I go, you got something that's funny? I go, let's hear it for this chick. She had stiletto high heels with socks and jeans rolled up, cuffed. And she had dreadlocks on one side and this weird stuff tied in her hair. And she had her like a really loud kind of, she almost laughed like the nanny with a low.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this tambourine with a strap on it that was like over her. She was I couldn't tell if she was a hipster or a hippie. And so then I go, you got something funny? You're basically on the stage right now. I was in the middle of a bit and you come out, ha, 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 ha. You want to be funny? And she's like, actually, yeah. I go, what's your name? Because it was packed, but there was only like 30 people because that place is tiny.
It is tiny.
And she's
Tiny's Tavern.
I go, so what's your name, young lady? And she's like, my name's DJ Two Cent, and I'm going to be down at Cowfish tomorrow night. And actually do have a really funny joke that my dad told me one time. I was like, all right, well, let's see how funny you are. Here, take the mic, DJ Two Cent. And there was a chair back kind of by the wall, so I stood back and I put my leg up on the chair like the captain in charge. I put my leg up, put my elbow. I'm doing some physical comedy behind her back that she can't, that everyone was kind of like, because I was like, I'm like looking at her and looking at people, and then they're laughing at me. And she's telling a joke, which I can't remember because she was like, and then like the one guy went and he,
did something.
And he said, and then the other, or wait, then the other guy. So her whole joke was just like, not, wouldn't have been funny if
it's
it was
funny in her head.
It would have been funny possibly if she wouldn't have been saying, and then the other, or you know, that guy. It was more like,
yeah.
So then, like, I go, all right, that's hilarious. Let's hear it for DJ Two Cent. And then she walks off, and then she keeps talking, and she's laughing. But then when she was really laughing, she was laughing like that, too, because she was talking with someone and laughing while I was still trying to do my thing. I go, you came out, and I was trying to say word to your... I said, is that a tambourine? Is that a... Or is that a purse? And she goes, it's a tambourine. And I go, right on. You want to play the tambourine for us? And she's like walking away. She's like, actually, I do keep my weed in there and my spliff rolling materials.
In your tambourine?
I was like, yeah. And she goes, and sometimes I keep my coin purse in there, and sometimes, and then she's kept, I go, it sounds like a fucking purse to me. And then, so like, people are laughing at that.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's hear it for DJ Buck 50. Obviously, she got her 2 cents in and just won't stop talking. And then she's clear at the other side of the bar. And I was like, as I was saying before you came out, word to your mother, let me say that to you. And she's like, I go, you ever hear people say that there, 2 cent? And she's like, yeah, I guess. And I was like, well, if you said that to me, I'd say sentence to your father. And she's like, what? And I was like, because I assume that your dad's probably in prison. And everybody's like, oh, huh. So it was a good burn. And then she's like, I said something about, I can't believe, I don't know. She made me lose my train of thought, right? And I was like, all right, so what do you guys want to talk about? And somebody's like, Velcro. And I'm all, Velcro? I go, I'll tell you one thing about Velcro. If I had a pair of Velcro shoes right now, I'd be getting a divorce because that's a deal breaker from my wife. She says no Velcro shoes.
And we played that song the last time we were at Tiny's Tavern.
I know. And so then she blurts out,
I got Velcro pockets on my nerf, man. And I was like, deal breaker, we're getting a divorce. DJ Toussaint and me are split up right now. I go, I want one turntable, half of a microphone, and half of that fucking tambourine purse thing that you got. So I got to play off her for almost 5 or 10 minutes, and I didn't know how I was doing. And then everybody said, you fucking did awesome. And then those girls, or before I even did a joke, I said, I'd like to start with no jokes. Milestone today. Me and my buddy started a podcast about a year and a half ago, and today we released our 200th episode.
200!
And everybody's all, yeah, yeah. And they're like, what's it called? And I was like, you won't remember, and it's weird. It's the Tagcast Podcast, but sometimes we call it the Terry and Gadge Comedy Show, but I'll get you a card. And then so after the show, they're like, what was your podcast again? I said, let me get you a card because you're drunk and you won't remember.
Hell yeah.
And they're like, we're going to listen to this.
102 countries now.
And then my wife said an odd thing.
That's some tasty weed.
It is tasty.
Is that what she said?
She said, that's some tasty weed, bro.
Right on.
No, she said, she's all, that's awesome. You need to get more young female fans. And I said, what? Because, you know, you female fans show you appreciation and
certainly
ask for your stuff. You kind of go, hey, yeah, here's my podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every Wednesday, motherfucker. And she's like, oh, I'm pretty funny, aren't I? Yeah. No, yeah. So I thought she was maybe setting me up for a, you like those girls, don't you? But luckily, my wife's not really like that, but she's a female, yeah. And every man is geared to think, shit, am I, what did mm-hmm. I, did I, like, say out loud that she had nice tits? Because I was thinking that.
Yeah.
But now my wife goes, you need more female fans. And I said, why? Younger ones, she said. And I said, why? She goes, because young females talk to their friends. She's like, I saw this guy and he was super funny. He's got a podcast and they're going to have
that makes
a show.
Sense.
You should go see him. We were cracking up the whole night.
That makes
and
sense.
Then she's like, my friend told me about this guy. He's like, blah, 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 blah. I keep getting messages from a guy I've never met, which is awesome. But he's like, hey, great. And he didn't obviously introduce himself at the Tiny Tavern. I probably looked.
Maybe he was tiny.
His name's Vincent.
Oh, Vincent Tavern.
Vincent Fennel.
Vincent Tavern might be a good name.
Yeah. Tiny Vincent. It's Tiny Vincent. And he said, hey, great set at the Tiny Tavern. When are you?
Tiny Vinny.
Tiny. And it, on the sign outside says the Tiny Tavern. The neon light says Tiny Tavern.
Neon lights.
The rug, when you walk in, says the Tiny Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in there who seemed like a regular or had been there before called it Tiny's.
Well, yeah, that's because anybody that's been there more than 3 times probably calls it Tiny's. And, you
and they
know,
have
I
one
mean,
of those neon.
It only fits 30 people, so, I mean, you know.
It's probably tiny.
Yeah.
It's not, you'd think if it was Tiny's Tavern, it would be owned by a really big fat guy named Tiny.
Dude, that place was packed the one time I was there.
Dude, I think it's always packed.
It was like 60 people in there, it seemed like, when we played 19 Limbs. But, you know,
yeah.
I mean,
we
that was one
draw.
Of my early shows, and so it was, you know, but I could have.
We were one of those artists that liked to draw.
We did draw.
People into venues.
You like to do drawings.
Drawings. How are you doing at your drawings with your band? Oh, we draw in about.
We draw in.
Keep my fans in the drawer.
Hey, we got a new image, right?
I believe so. I'm kind of looking at it. You know, I'm thinking maybe our friend and associate and possible part-time art director, Jerry Murphy, who has threatened to come on the show on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if he comes through for that. Maybe he could take that little scribbly thing that you did that looks awesome, by the way, and maybe embellish it and put a little life to it or something.
Yeah, well, that was the thinking when I printed it out. I
saw it sitting there.
I'll sit that right in front of where he'll probably be sitting.
And
maybe
I'll
get some crayons out, and maybe he'll just do something with while he's sitting there.
I'm sure he'll recognize us.
Yeah.
Because we're sitting right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, we're trying to do a reboot for season 6. This is our 201st.
Bring out a new image.
201st. Episode, new image, new intro songs, new segments. Here's one for you for Mondays, hopefully. Dickhead Driver of the Week segment.
Oh, all right.
Don't know the person personally, but he won the award today on I-5, Washington license plate ALX6568.
so much of a dick driver that I remembered his fucking license plate. So there you go. Let me repeat that. That's ALX6568 Washington plates. He fucking zipped up on my, I'm going 75. I'm breaking the law when I'm driving. I'm driving 10 miles over the speed limit in my fucking Ramalama Pentagrama Vanna.
And that's
he's like,
awesome.
He's up on my ass and I'm passing someone. And then there's a U-Haul that's going too slower than the faster, you know, the U-Haul's going around a slow, fifth wheel.
Uh-huh.
Because the U-Haul's going a little faster than the fifth wheel, but he's probably going 65 like he should be. Well, we're all going 75. This guy zips up on me, probably going 85. And then he, like, zips around me and thinks he's going to be able to go around this car. And then he realized, duh, we're going slow because the U-Haul's going slow. Uh-huh. We don't want to ride someone one car length away. We want to give three or four car lengths. So he zips up around and then has to slam on his brakes. And then he zips in between me and the car in front of me. And then I'm like, oh, I'm talking to him, but he can't hear me
because
I'm a little psycho. I didn't do any hand gestures.
He could. He may be able to.
I was hoping, I was talking with a very enunciated lip pattern to where maybe if he was looking into his rearview mirror, he could actually see what my lips were saying. I was like, you fucking, you know, like when you try to say, if you've ever been on stage and you try to mouth words that you're not actually saying.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. And I'm like, you fucking, you're cool, dude. I go, you really got far, didn't you? You're still going the same speed as I was. You're braking in front of me. I'm slowing down now.
Yeah.
Thanks to your fucking ass. Then he zips around this other part, and then he gets stuck.
Maybe 10 seconds sooner than you.
Dude, 5 miles down the road when I got to the exit, he was still like just trying to get around people because a lot of people go 65.
Yeah.
They don't like to get speeding tickets. The neighbor's girlfriend recently got a
Never
big,
be the fastest driver that you can see, right?
Yeah, and this is one of those Catch-22 Aesop's Fables type of moments, you know.
Aesop is my god, because
so
he wrote Fables too.
You're late for an important job interview, right?
Uh-huh.
You're running just a couple all minutes late.
Oh, man, I got to
get
there. You're
gathering your stuff. You're
I
got to
get there.
Ready. So
get my stuff.
I got to speed a little bit.
Uh-huh. I got to get there, man. If I go 70,
Speeding ticket, $280, and
now I'm going to be late for my interview too.
That looks real good to my interviewee. Thanks a lot. And then
I'll just say that I got a ticket though.
Yeah,
that'll make me
because
look
I was speeding because I was late leaving the house onto the first initial. Yeah, so
and bosses always love a good excuse.
And what I always say is like I got accosted by a gang of wild teenagers. They were throwing rocks.
They
ran out into the freeway. There was like seven of them. They were throwing rocks, and they were yelling obscenities. I had to pull off the... And then one of them threw a Chinese throwing star into my back.
What?
Yeah, and I had to change my tire. That way, I just... Before I go in, I just rub my hand on my back tire and get some of that black, sooty-looking tire-changing grease, and then I rub my hands, one little smear on the face, and then I go in with my story. I don't come in with a ticket saying, that fucking dickhead cop, I was speeding. He must have known I was late.
Yeah.
He pulled me over on purpose just so I would be late for my job interview.
And then he popped my tires, and so I had to fix them all.
Fix them all.
Mm-hmm. Fix them all.
Fix a flat with fix them all. Always carry, you know, I feel sorry. My buddy, our buddy, crashed his car, and... I was going to go to a story about our other friend, Ron, who I told you recently got laid off. And I heard that Don said, no one's coming back. It's going to be done. So he talked to Derek, who's also in the plastics field, and has an interview to go to work at Derek's work in Portland.
Oh, wow.
That's quite a commute. But, you know, in this day and age, I guess you do.
You take what you can get, right?
Yeah. He's got kids and...
Crazy.
Yeah. All right, that's enough. I know you got something for me.
I do. We got a new segment called Jock Talk.
All right. If this
Jock
is the line, welcome to Jock Talk.
Jock Talk.
Phone lines are now open at 555-4444. You can call us up. We'll talk about jocks.
Hey, you know who's going to be at the Super Bowl halftime show?
Dennis Rodman. Guar.
Bruno Mars.
How'd you like my two first guesses?
I liked them.
They were pretty scattered.
I thought that was one guess, though. I thought it was together.
No. First, I thought, wait, Dennis Rodman doesn't sing. He'll be there, but he won't
could be.
Yeah,
well, he will be there.
There is
Kim Jong Un the Silk.
There's a petition online to have Guar play at halftime.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't think
there it used to be marching bands, and then one day
Martians.
Yeah, Martian bands.
We're all Martians. We learned that last couple weeks ago.
And then one day, New Kids on the Block happened to the halftime show, and from there it's always been kind of like the pop superstars of the day or old has-beens. The Who and the Rolling Stones, you know, but still, that was well past their time.
Yeah. You know how if you accidentally, like, change first letters of words because of just you're stoned or you're a little dyslexic?
Uh-huh. Certainly.
Would you ever think of accidentally saying new bids on the cock?
New bids on the cock.
How many bids you got on that there, clock?
There's 15 Wait, seconds to go.
No, I meant new kids on the block. Oh, new blids on the clock. You got blids on your cock. I never knew that's like if you take the first letter of one word and switch it like with names or like Gust and Datchel and Gary Tile. That is called
Gary Tile works though.
I know. A spoonerism.
Nah, a spoonerism. Because of Gary Spooner?
I don't know. I don't know
the
why.
Spooner-billed duck?
You mean Sari Kapooner? That's a hard one.
Sari Kapooner?
Gary Sari Spooner. If you got a GP at the beginning of your name, you're probably...
A GP?
Gapooner.
Gapooner?
Gapooner. Yeah, I learned that
G is silent.
Spoonerism from my friend Lodestone, who had a little tragedy the other day. Moment of silence and seriousness for Jim Lauderdale's dad passed away.
Oh man, that sucks.
Friday the 13th.
Ouch.
And he just went to bed. Jim lived with his dad. Well, his dad lived with him, really. You know, his dad's 90, almost 90.
Mm-hmm.
He just went to take a nap. And he's like, he takes naps all day, but he usually naps in the chair. He's like, so I thought it was kind of odd that he went to the bed. A couple hours later, he was walking by the bedroom and noticed his leg was sticking out, and it was all purple. And yep, his dad had passed away. But we went to sleep peacefully. He wasn't in any pain. So, and I've known Jim for 15 years or so more. And we, ironically enough, stopped by his house the day that his mother died in 2009. But she had Alzheimer's and had been in a place and had been gone for a long time. So, like, I remember that day we stopped by to drop him off our dues for the fair, and he said, "That mom died today." And I was like, "Eh, you know, no big deal." But, like, Dana called
him.
Yeah,
and
she
it's found hard,
out,
you know, I mean, how do you tell somebody? Because you want to tell somebody, you know, but then, you know.
Well, we found out from his daughter's post on Facebook, because he had given her a tree 8 years ago when they bought their house in Bend, and so she planted it and named it Larry. After Larry. And she said, "Here's Larry the tree. My grandpa was on to a better place today." So my wife is compassionate, and I am too, but I'm not one to initiate compassionate acts. So she calls
I'd like
him.
A tree when I go.
She calls him and says, "Jim, so sorry to hear about your dad, you know. Anything, is there anything?" And she's like, he was crying. And she's like, "Is there anything we can do?" And he's like, I sure could use some company right about now. And I was outside, or inside, she was outside, she comes in, "We gotta go now. We're getting ready to go to the comedy show in like an hour and a half." I was like, it's not time to go. And she's like, "We gotta go to Jim's house." And I was like, "Why?" And she's like, "He's crying. I've only seen Jim laugh. I've never even seen him mad. He's a happy guy." And I was like, "Well, his dad died. I mean, fuck, he's gonna be sad." So he's an avid pot smoker. And, of course, since he's been living with his dad for the last 5 years, well, what he did is he bought his childhood home. That his dad was currently living in, because his dad was struggling. His dad was 85, certainly. Something like that. So I'm going to buy the
Makes
house
sense.
Before you die, and then I'm going to take care of my dad for the last few years. So he's always had to hide the weed, and he's got a great sense of humor. And he's the first to have a too soon joke. So they had just taken the body out a couple hours before, and we'd sat there and talked to him, and then he got joked about some stuff, and I said, "Well..." And Dana had said, "I bet he's do-si-do-ing," because they were square dancers, old folks. Bet him and your mom are do-si-do-ing up there right now. And he's like, "Yeah." And then we joked about some other stuff. And I said, "And I know you won't think this is too soon, but hey, at least you can smoke weed in the house now." Then he's like, "Ah, That's good. He's like, I was going to go to the comedy show tonight. He goes, but goddamn dad had to go and die. He goes, my brothers are coming down from Salem. I was like, probably better stay. They'd probably think it was insensitive if I went out to the comedy show. He's like, but I really want to go.
He should have brought them with him because, I mean, that could, you know, laughter would have been great right in that moment, right?
I used that joke that night because I wanted to, I got a little moment of silence because I felt bad and felt bad for my friend and his loss. And so I said, yeah, my dad's friend passed away. We went by his house, so. This one's for you, Larry, or whatever, you know. And then people are like all kind of somber and quiet. And I said, and it's never too soon for a good joke. So I told him, I said, hey. I go, because he's like 65 and his dad was like 90. And he had to hide his weed smoking from his dad out of respect. And so I said, hey, at least you can smoke weed in the house now. And they're like, oh, I just got like, oh, quiet. Oh, I was like, he thought it was funny, so fuck you guys. I tried to get it.
Well, you know, yeah, they probably are viewing it as some stranger, you know, and when it's a close friend and, you know, has a sense of humor.
Yeah, he wanted to be there to see Max Brockman's 30-minute set. Max Brockman did 30 minutes. Can't believe it because he's a one-liner, pretty much.
Dude, I got a show. I got, well,
I got to show you something.
You're still on the wire, right?
I can watch more than one show. I'm on Breaking Bad, The Dome, The Wire, and what else was that about? I've been watching, it's not anything series, like drama, comedy series. All it's right. Just stand-up stuff I watch.
Dude, this series is called The 4400. You ever heard of it?
I don't believe so.
It's very Stephen King-ish in kind of like, it's, I think it was on Sci-Fi or something. But here's the premise, right? Over the last 50 years, 44 people have been abducted by aliens, right?
I think I heard about this at one point. Okay, yeah, keep going.
And then one day, a flash of light in the sky, they all just get dropped off. Right in a field. They were picked up from all over different times, different countries. Now they all come back. None of them have aged a bit.
And there's 44 of them?
4,400.
Oh, 4,400. Okay.
Yeah. And then they start, each one of them.
So how do they know that they're all part of this?
They all just get dropped off right at the time.
At the same place?
Yeah. They were missing.
Oh, but they're from all different places.
Yeah, and then they go, like, to their families. Like, this one lady was missing for 6 years.
I thought you were dead.
Yeah, you know, you were missing. I've married. Our daughter doesn't even know you're the mom. And this one guy's, like, missing for 50 years. He was a pilot in, like, one of the first black pilots.
I'm starting to have, like, a bit of a... Maybe I watched that pilot or something, the first episode, because it sounds totally familiar.
It's been on Netflix forever, so you might have been, like, just perusing for something to watch one time. But, you know, it's kind of kept my interest, and it's pretty...
How many slices
I think, like,
deep
four,
are
you? Four
That's
seasons.
How deep you go to see if you like the brand.
Oh,
you're four seasons in? Or your four episodes?
No, I'm like two seasons in.
Oh,
but
okay.
I think it's four or five seasons totally. But, you know, it's got some interesting twists. Like, one of the ladies was pregnant when she came back, but she wasn't when she left. And so, you know, and there's all the kind of, you know, nobody knows really what's going on. And then it almost seems to be taken like an X-Men thing, like... us versus them kind of a thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, the war is going to happen. Are we going to strike first or are the others?
I can't believe that we're declaring war on syrup.
I know, dude. I love syrup.
You shouldn't bomb that shit. It's going to be a sticky mess. No, that's Syria. Oh, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
I am. I listen to Syria radio all the time. I don't want to bomb them. I wonder if Al Gore's totally serial still. Ah. Dudes. He doesn't say dudes. You guys, I'm totally Syria.
You know who also passed away recently?
No.
Ray Dolby.
Thomas Dolby?
Nope.
She blinded me with science.
Not the singer, but the guy who invented Dolby
Holy
sound around.
Seriously
sound.
Shit?
Yeah.
Just recently?
Yeah, he was 80 years old.
What? No way. Mm-hmm. So he was only like 12 when he invented Dolby?
I guess, maybe.
Dolby's been around for a while, I thought.
It has been.
Thomas Dolby.
But it was like, well, was it, His Dolby noise reduction was huge when that first came out, remember?
Yeah, I think that was probably in the 60s or 70s.
What, that early they had it on 8-track?
I don't know. Anybody know anything about Dolby noise reduction? Give us a call, 444-5566.
Jock cock.
What the fuck, 444-5566. Okay, 789-1012-16. We're open 24 hours a day for your calls.
We're all about blurred lines.
We're all about blurred lines. Blurred. Hey, I got a couple of... We won't change some things about our show where we talk about stuff and then we stop talking and then we talk about something else. Or crazy Floridians against crazy Oregonians.
All right. Or Canadians.
Yeah, in North Lauderdale. Uh-huh. Not to be confused with Jim or the late Larry Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. But in North Lauderdale, Florida, a Florida man fleeing from police, shocked two women when he burst into their house wearing only his socks. Anna DeCius said Patrick James had nothing but socks on when he came in through the front door.
Were they on his feet?
Yeah, unfortunately they were. And she was talking with a friend. He shushed the two women.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-conversation, you know, it's one thing to walk into someone's living room with your junk out, and they're in the middle of a conversation. You mm-hmm. might say, excuse me, could I hide under your couch, or do you have another sock that I could use, or whatever. He shushed them and told them to, he attempted to hide in their kitchen, and the cops bursted in. They got him. He lost his pants when the deputies attempted to grab him. And he jumped right out of his pants and ran off. Apparently, he must not have had underwear on under his pants. Oh, wait, no. He shed the rest of his clothes while fleeing, probably to cut down on...
He shed them like a snake does skin?
Yeah, to cut down on wind resistance, to run faster. Now, that will be...
You might have more wind resistance.
That's kind of funny. Kind of funny. Good little story. But here's the Oregonian to match... A 14-year-old Eugene, Oregon girl, Shelby Buster.
Shelby Buster.
She tried to go into a store called Rue 21. Have you heard of that? It's a mall store.
That's over by Shelbus's house.
Shelbus. Yeah. I think they have one at the Albany Mall. I know they have them in the Eugene Mall. My wife likes to shop there. They have those weird girl
pants. I think
it's
called Memories Lane or whatever. Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's called Rue 21.
Oh, okay. Now I know what you're talking about.
They sell those bling pocket jeans that all the girls
bling
wear.
Bling pocket jeans.
Tramp stamp and my muffin
bling
top.
Pocket jeans.
Okay, so Shelby Buster.
We just wrote the new blurred lines.
I think so. You'll have to cut that out later and put some music to it. So she walked into the store, and she was starting to look at some clothing in there.
Uh-huh.
And the attendant said, hey.
Hey, I got your bling pocket jeans.
You're too big to be in the store. I need you to leave.
That's what they told Al that one time, only they told him he was too old.
Yeah, well, apparently she's a little heavy set.
Mm-hmm.
She's a BBW.
Yep.
And they said, hey, you're too big to be in the store. I need you to leave. She was with a friend at the time of the incident, and she had to wait until her friend finished shopping to leave the store to tell her mother what had happened. So...
Her friend didn't leave with her?
Well, she needed to do some shopping. She wasn't fat. She's like, hey, hey, fat bitch, wait outside. I got to shop with this.
I could understand if she was shopping alone and there was nothing in the store that fit her. Like, well, you're just giving her a heads up. Like,
you can't hang out with your friend while she picks out her skinny jeans. Okay?
No, well, that's wrong.
But that is wrong.
But if she was there alone and they were basically saying, we don't have anything that's going to fit you in the store... Then that's kind of like helping her out a little bit, right?
Well, that would be nice for them to say, hey, look, we don't have what you're looking for here. So
yeah, but you can still shop around if you want.
No,
you can still...
Just move along there. Okay. So she goes and she tells her mom, and they came back to the store, and they were like, oh, we're so sorry.
And they caused an earthquake.
When contacted by the press, the Rue 21 district manager said they are aware of the situation and currently looking into it. Meantime, Shelby's mom had both Shelby and her friend write a recount of what happened. And
a recount?
Yeah, they didn't. They want to be the winners this time.
Hmm. And this happened in what part of Eugene?
At the Valley River Center.
Okay.
So you got stuck-up, snobby, skinny-pants bitches that are working at this store telling the overweight chick. I mean, you don't think that this overweight girl has enough self-esteem problems as it is?
Obviously, they don't coach them in customer
etiquette.
Yeah.
Or whatever
or
you want to
call it. Customer service.
Yeah, you're like, or customer service just, etiquette.
Yeah, there's no training to be customer service.
You don't go, hey, bitch, you're too big to be in here, so you might as well just leave because the largest size we have is a 22, and you're obviously a 42 double wide, whatever you call it. Is that even a pant size for ladies?
I don't know.
42 double wide in the ass with a front butt pocket. Fupas. So that's our Eugene versus
Florida. A Canadian story to throw in there.
Cool, I have none.
In Hamilton, Ontario, thieves broke into a trucking business and stole a truck. And inside the truck was $17,000 worth of shampoo and mouthwash.
Whoa!
Yeah, what a haul, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a haul.
Would you just set up and start selling it on the street for like
$0.78 a bottle?
Yeah.
Do you think? I don't know. I've seen, and this is actually a bit of Max Brockman's that I heard the other night. He said, I bought a bottle of shampoo for 79 cents the other day.
He's like, that's cheaper than Dollar Tree.
He's like, how can you even make a bottle of shampoo for 79 cents? He's like, you got the bottle. You got someone had to mix the chemicals and put it in a bottle.
They got machines that pump that shit out.
Oh, I know. And they cap it all off and everything like that. He's like, I figured the only way someone could make a bottle of shampoo for 78 cents was, it said it has vitamins and minerals in it. He goes, I think they just took like some rocks and some reservoir water and crushed up like 5 vitamins.
That's too much work. You just put a vitamin in there and shook it up.
And said that's fucking shampoo.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a score. I wonder if that's what they're actually after.
I don't know. I think it was.
What do you do for a living? I'm a shampoo heister.
Yep.
I do big heists of Suave.
Nobody would really care if they lost that much shampoo, would they? I mean, how much would the cops really go after it?
Yeah. Now, I don't know exactly what happened.
I
don't know why I'm talking like this, but it's because I'm a little perturbed and concerned at the same time because we got about 10 minutes or so left of this episode, and I have yet to receive any notification from our number one fan, Hans Jochumsen, and podcast supporter, monetary supporter, about what's in his CD player. And I believe that this is the episode 6, first episode of season 6, so maybe he doesn't want to have that anymore. No, that's probably not true, but haven't heard from Hans. I wish we were on live radio right now so we could say, Hans, call us up, tell us what's in your CD player. Let's make a guess.
All right.
We'll both guess, and then on Wednesday's show, maybe if we've heard from him by then, we will see who was the closest to what Hans was listening to. I'm going to go out on a big limb that's not rotten, and I'm going to say he's listening to Robin Thicke, Blurred Lines.
That crossed my mind. But I'm going to go in the other direction, and I'm going to go with a super group.
Ooh.
That is going to give me a little bit more of a chance to, like, you know, maybe have a connection to where it works. All right. And I'm going to go with he's listening to Radioactive by The Firm.
Whoa, Jimmy Page and Paul Rodgers.
Uh-huh. Who else?
Bad Zeppelin. Who else?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure.
Chris Slade.
From the band Slade?
I think he played with AC/DC for a time. Is that true?
Oh, the drummer. No? Who?
I don't know. Chris Slade.
I think it was the drummer.
Makes sense.
What's the other guy's name?
Tony Franklin, fretless bassist, who went on to play with
King's X.
White Snake.
What?
And Quiet Riot.
Whoa, that's both of Rudy Sarzo's gigs.
Yep.
Who now plays for Blue Oyster Cult.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was that song Radioactive.
Yep.
That's what I was listening to.
You know how that sounds like all weird on the song?
Mm-hmm.
I heard a weird, like, behind the music thing about the recording of that song and how they got that effect.
Uh-huh.
Back in the day, you didn't have a button that you pushed it. Made it sound like...
Mm-hmm. Did he just go, I'm radioactive?
He sang it through a lo-fi amplifier speaker and put a long PVC tube in front of the speaker that was like 6 feet long or something like that. And then put a good quality mic at the end of the PVC tube. So they had a mic going through a shitty amp, going through a long PVC pipe, and...
Wow.
It made it sound like that. You're only wonder.
Huh. Why would they even think of, like, this is how we're going to get this sound?
I have no idea.
Huh.
Why wouldn't he just, like, cup the mic and go, she's running your walk now?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like that.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, that, I don't know. I didn't know all those guys were in that band. I didn't know Jimmy Page was in there.
Yeah, I knew that that's what it was first touted. Like, when that came out, I was still listening to KGON, and they were making a big deal about it before the album came out. You know, because Led Zeppelin had been a little defunct since Bonham died. They'd released, like, some unreleased stuff on that Coda album, and Bad Company wasn't Paul Rogers anymore. They had that Brian Howe.
So that's it's a super group at that
time. Yeah, for sure. And so they were talking about it.
No names that went on to do some other stuff, it sounds like.
Yeah. That probably people didn't know at the time, but...
Yeah, but that was Jimmy Page on a Telecaster with a wah on that song.
Yeah. Telecaster, that pisses some people off. My friend Farmer Tape knows he will get mad at anybody who plays a Telecaster just while they're playing.
Do you think
it.
He would be even more inset? That's like an insulted upset.
Mm-hmm.
That he was playing a wah through there.
Yeah, that's even worse.
You know, because
while Paul Rogers was singing through a lo-fi amp through a long PVC pipe into a high-quality microphone. Radioactive. We could do that.
Mm-hmm.
We should do our whole podcast through a low-quality microphone through a 6-foot PVC. Welcome to the Radioactive Podcast. I almost did that. I'm going to do birthdays real quick. I don't have my shit together. Yeah, that's my fake one. I don't know if you like this guy, but he's showed up in some comedy shows that I like. I think he was on Arrested Development. He was on Portlandia. And I recently found out that he lost Celebrity Jeopardy to Cheech Marin, who is apparently a smart little Mexican.
He was a stud on that show. I remember hearing about that.
Ed Begley Jr.
You like that guy? Funny.
He is funny. He was down in Portlandia and some other shows, but let's see, he'd be 64. He's 64 today.
Wow.
I'm just figuring it out as I go because I didn't get a chance to collect my information. We're doing another format where we're more flying off the seat of our pants.
He had a reality show.
He did.
Living with Ed. And it was him and his wife, and they like to be the spatting couple. You know, that would zing each other. You know, they were like that and make their little jokes about marriage. Rah, rah, rah. That was obviously, you know, all in fun.
Yeah.
While he was out there, like, riding a stationary bike to warm up enough hot water to take a shower while he was he was cooking in his little sun stove. He was cooking a chili, like an all day simmer type of a thing.
Simmer time.
And it's funny. You got a little flag going there on your microphone stand.
I know. I didn't know that you had made my mic stand into a paper towel dispenser. That's awesome. In case with pizza now, I might need to wipe my mug. Oh, man. Also, birthdays today. Mickey Rourke.
Rourke. Rourke.
How old do you think Rourke is?
Rourke. Oh, man, he is old, but probably not as old as he looks.
I know, he seems like he'd be, like, older than 64, but he's younger than 64.
He's 62.
57, even.
Wow.
Yeah.
I even thought 59 was too low.
Yeah. And what was
he had a lot of like work done, right? And then it kind of went bad or
looks
something,
like face
or
work,
like
something.
Or because he looks, he his face and forehead look worse than.
Maybe it was that
fucking
boxing movie that he was in. They fucked him up in that one pretty bad.
Dude, no. He looks worse than like a career pro wrestler though. After like, you know how they cut their own head with a razor blade,
right?
He looks like he did that
just
all
scar
over his
tissue
face.
So they can easily bleed by getting hit by a chair. Also, a funny lady and former SNL alum, Molly Shannon.
Ah!
Superstar!
All right, I'm going to guess...
older than I thought.
51!
Well, that's close. Next year, she'll be able to say, I'm 50!
I thought she was 50 last year.
She's 49. She's been 50 for 20 years. Oh, yeah, and posthumous death today, her birthday.
20 years ago.
Bill Hicks' birthday today.
Ooh! What a hick.
He would have been 52. 52. Ah. And that's all the birthdays I got. I don't know if any friends on Facebook have birthdays because I forgot to look before. And I think that's about all I got for today.
It is the International Day for the Preservation of the Ozone Layer.
Oh, cool.
And it is also Heroes Day.
Oh, heroes, something David Bowie, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going Bruce Springsteen.
It sounded like Springsteen singing a David Bowie song. We could be heroes, something. All right, I got to piss, so I'm going to wrap
piss
this
off.
Fucking shit off. Piss off, you geezer. I told you, you want more Ed? Ed? I told you, you want more Ed? Ed? Can't you bloody understand the English? Ed?
Again,
bitches.
Ed.
All right. Thanks for listening on a Monday, you guys. We will see you Wednesday, hopefully with a guest.
Yeah.
My feet are stuck. You know what a feeder is?
Feeder tube.
Oh, wait, my Peter's stuck. I meant.
Rock on!
My Peter's stuck in my pants. Yeah, we hope to have Jerry Murphy on Wednesday, so come back for a hump day show. Thanks for listening, you guys. Taryn Gadd's comedy show. Peace out! Hey, all you taggots. How you doing? What you doing? You're going out to a show this weekend? I bet. I'm going to tell you which ones you should go to. Every second Friday of the month, just to get that out of the way. It won't be till next month, but... Pantsless Comedy with Mike McGowan at Cornucopia, 5th and Pearl in Eugene. That's usually a free show. 10 o'clock. And I've also heard it called... Leave Your Pants at Home comedy show, so I don't know what it is. Whatever. Let's see, what do we got coming up? An autism fundraiser comedy show at Bonnaroo Tattoo. That's September 20th in Eugene, Oregon. September 21st, Bleepin' Funny at Sam Pond's Garage with Doug and Teresa Wyckoff, or Wyckoff, I'm not sure how you pronounce that, but the He and She comedy show coming over from Florence. And a bunch of other funny folks. I won't be on that show, but go check it out. I encourage you to do that. What else do we have going on? Oh, September 28th, it's Necryptic, World of Lies, and Existential Depression. I love bands that sound like that. That's at the Black Forest, Existential Depression. With Necryptic and World of Lies. World of Lies from Portland, Necryptic from Eugene. Two great death metal grinding metal bands that will tear your face off or whatever you say. October 3rd, also death metal, Between the Buried and Me at the Hawthorne Theater in Portland. October 4th, comedy with Brian Posehn and Derek Sheen at the Wow Hall in Eugene, Oregon. The guys from The Donkey Show, Drew and Marcus, will be opening the show with comedy sets from both of those guys as well. Let's see, October 11th, is Diamond Head and Raven with our buddies in Nether Regions. Open the show up in Portland there. That's at Hawthorne Theater. Also, October 11th, Orange Goblin at Mississippi Studios, which is part of a three-day festival, the 10th through the 13th, at different venues over the weekend. Fall Into Darkness is what it's called. Check it out online for more info on that doom metal extravaganza three-day festival type thing. Creator and Overkill will be at the Hawthorne Theater on October 13th. You want to check that out, probably. Also at the Hawthorne, Guar and White Chapel. Lots of good shows coming up. Deicide and Broken Hope, also at the Hawthorne, October 17th. September 27th, going backwards in time a little bit, but forward from today, Cherry Pop and Daddy is going to be at the Wow Hall. That's a Saturday, September 27th. November 11th, up in Kent, Washington, which is outside of Seattle a little bit, Lamb of God and Testament. Some other bands will be playing up there. Pearl Jam will be at the Rose Garden November 29th. And don't forget to come to the Duck Inn in Eugene. I think that's 1795 6th Street in Eugene at the Duck Inn. It will be myself and Alex Elgin giving you a two-comic show. It starts at 9 o'clock and it's free. Alex Elkin from 1450 All Comedy AM and myself, Terry Guile. Also, what else is going on? I don't know. Oh, there's a Bleepin' Funny going on at the end of October, which is October 27th. It's a Saturday night. Also at Sam Bond's Garage. Free show, 6:30 p.m. I will be there. And I think that's all I got for you right now. Thanks for listening, and get out and do something fun. When you get back into the house, you can listen to more of us at tagcastpodcast.com. It's the Terry and Guy's Comedy Show, and we'll see you next time.